When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
America's most available sweetheart.
Handsome.
Has been bitten by the love bug.
Want to help me unthaw?
Have some laughs on love with Kathy's Valentine next.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, getting thematic around Valentine's Day. Welcome back, everybody. This is Knowing Is Half the Podcast, and I am Race to Canis.
I'm Robert Clark Chan.
I'm Gina Ippolito.
Why'd you make us wait?
That was a pregnant pause.
That was a deep pause.
The anticipation is worth it.
Oh, man.
You absolutely weren't expecting me to actually say my name, were you?
No, my brain forgot what to do when we don't fuck around.
You'd think we'd have a guest today. But we don't.
You see, this is why I'm irresponsible, because things go wrong otherwise.
Things go wrong when you're responsible?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what? That holds up.
Yeah.
What's exciting about this episode, Kathy's Valentine. If you're familiar with the Kathy comic strips from like the 80s.
It's ack, not
ack. It's not good. Look, most comic strips are butt. Most comic strips are not good. They're not funny. Kathy is in that family of comic strips.
All right. I'm coming in with a hot take early.
Okay.
One, thought I would hate this. Did not hate it.
Oh my God. Wow.
I hated.
No, you are purely just doing this to be an asshole.
He's trolling, right? He's got to be trolling.
Number two.
It's terrible.
Because I was such a big comic strip guy, you know, when I was a kid.
Same.
I'm pretty familiar with all of the comic strips of the 80s. And like almost every strip, honestly, at some point, the comic strip was good. And it was pure and a clean idea from the author illustrating, you know, something meaningful true. And if it stays around too long, it just becomes a parody of itself.
Wait, are you talking about all comic strips or just this comic strip?
Well, no, I mean like Calvin and Hobbes, he bailed before he just like retreaded himself and just, you know, was making garbage. Burke Breathed, you know, in Bloom County, kind of sort of did that. He's kind of half in and half out, but like he basically does it when he is feeling the mojo and stops when he doesn't. Farside quit, but things like Beetle Bailey and
Farside was brilliant for years.
For better, for worse. Yeah.
Farside was brilliant for years, but Kathy was only ever, I'm so fat, I'm so sad, I'm so lonely, I want a man.
Well, at the when it was first came out, it was sort of a honest view of the working woman culture.
No, it was always about her being single. It was always about her not her being lovelorn. Not like always thinking that all she needed was like a boyfriend to sort of solve her problems, but her self-esteem was also very low, but also like weirdly high at times. It was basically like a Sex in the City if you boiled it down to just one very, very basic thing.
I mean, Sex in the City had its moments too.
Oh, I love Sex in the City. I'm just saying it is a watered down Sex in the City. all they could talk about was how they also needed to lose weight. The reason that I don't like it is because it truly plays into the trope of the sort of frumpy woman who's always just got to lose those 10 pounds who thinks a man is going to fix everything. It has nothing. She's not ever a fully. And also it's not funny. Like if you're giving me like a sad woman, like I can make that funny. I can make a sad woman funny, but she's always sad about like the same specific things. I hate it.
I will concede. Not that funny. There were some gags I enjoyed, and I think, I think actually what this special does better possibly than the comic strip is it sort of focuses, the satire. Like they make a thing about how she's always reading these magazines, and a lot of her neuroses develop from essentially that, from the industry that keeps women paranoid and anxious and focused on their weight and whatnot like that to sell magazines and makeup and all that. And, like, there's the whole thing of, you know, her shopping, trying to spend all this money to earn a 95-cent, you know, Valentine's Day card.
Again, not funny. Not funny. Like it's honestly, the only thing that kept me going through watching this was the commercials. The version that we watched still had the 80s commercials in there. That's the only thing that kept me from killing myself while I was watching this hot garbage.
Yeah, it was pretty rough.
This might be my least favorite thing that we have ever watched.
Ever. Wow. Okay. Yeah. I'm not ready to go that low yet.
It's definitely top three. I hated everything about it. I hate her boyfriend. I think he's a serial killer.
He is the worst.
I hate her parents. I think they're insane. Like they're also serial killers. But most of all, I hate her. And when not even she is likable, I'm not rooting for her. Like, I like hated Irving, but I'm also just like, yeah, I don't care. Be an asshole to her because she's a terrible person. Like, she just, I just can't watch this, like, oh my God, like, oh, it's me. Finally I have a man, but it's still not going right. And it's just, ugh. It like reminds me of like my most disliked aunt who's always making other people's, like, her problems other people's problems, and I don't like it. That really, so, I felt worse for the therapist, I guess, is the one I was
rooting for. The therapist is the hero of the episode, I will definitely say. According to Wikipedia, Kathy is a comic strip that ran from 1976 to 2010. It was created by a lady named Kathy, oddly enough, and it's about a woman named Kathy who struggles through the four basic guilt groups of life, that being food, love, family, and work. And it gently pokes fun at the lives and foibles of modern women. Yeah. Three television specials, 20 books, over 1,400 newspaper circulation at its peak. And there you go. Originally starting as
big awful stereotype about women and a certain type of woman. And honestly, I feel like if this had been written by a man, it would be Chan's most hated thing as well.
Very possible.
It's very possible. Now, we did open up, this special is 30 minutes long instead of our normal 22 because it had all the commercial breaks in it. And of course, we're going to talk about all of the commercials. Opened up here. Kathy, oh boy, here we go. I remember this as being a very unfunny comic strip. There was a saying from it that I think my mom had like a tote bag that had Kathy on it, and it just said, broken cookies contain fewer calories.
I can't do the dieting woman trope. You want to talk about Sex and the City? That was the thing. They were always eating. Like, they were never, there was like one episode where Samantha's like thinking about getting plastic surgery and stuff like that, but they're always eating, which is how women actually act. And just
Kathy's always eating.
Yeah, she's never farting. That's how I knew women
so
don't fart.
She's so obsessed with it. She's so obsessed with like losing weight, and then she's eating, and then she's like complaining about how she can't lose weight. But then it's like, just would it kill you just to have a woman with a healthy relationship to her body and food?
In this comic, it would, because that's the whole thing.
Kathy walked so Sex and the City could.
Thank you.
I want to see the crossover where they become friends with Kathy, and then like one episode later, they're like, "So we're faking our death to never talk to this woman again, right?"
And
they're
like, "Oh, absolutely, murder her. They murder her and put her into the trunk of their car, drive it out."
It doesn't end well. It ends better for a lot of their boyfriends than it does for Kathy in that situation. Now, the commercials to start. One was for a Bugs Bunny. Was Bugs Bunny in prime time in CBS in 1989 just showing reruns of Bugs Bunny cartoons? Exactly was that an ad for?
They would have done specials because they had so many. This one is Bugs Bunny Wide World of Sports. So they just repackaged like the sports segments or segments.
These are old cartoons, sports. Even for 1989.
Are we explaining cartoon? Are we explaining commercials now to Ray? Is that how far we've fallen?
No, it's not the idea that it's the fact that this special existed. Like, I just can't believe in 1989, with there being so much a glut of network television, that they were repackaging 1950s Bugs Bunny cartoons in prime time on CBS. That just, the concept of that blew my mind.
Ray, they had been doing it for decades by this time.
Dang, upsetting.
They were still doing primetime specials of that at this time. You lived through that time.
I did, and I don't remember Bugs Bunny in primetime at any point.
Did your parents not let you stay up to watch Bugs Bunny at 8, 7 Central and Mountain?
No, I will tell you right now, in this would have been 1989. It would have been my 12th birthday. And my parents said, "What do you want for your birthday?" And this is over the summer. And I didn't think I'd get away with it, but I said, I would really like a TV in my room and having a cable TV hookup in my room.
Ooh.
No 12-year-old deserves that.
I threw it out there. And my parents said, "Yes, we will do that for you."
Your parents?
I couldn't believe it.
They wanted you out of the way.
As possible.
Boomer parents, you know, they never raised kids. They just allowed them to be in the house. That was, you know, and then for my 13th birthday the following summer, I did a little double down. I said, I want a VCR so I can rent videos from Blockbuster Video and watch them in my room. And they said, yes, we will do that for you as well.
The year after that, you were just like, fuck it. I would like porn. Just give me stacks and stacks of porn. And they're like,
I had a VCR and I had cable TV and we had a Cinemax subscription. I didn't need porn.
Jesus.
Because I already had it.
I don't know if you gentlemen are, you don't have to tell me, you don't have to tell our listeners.
I don't know
if you gentlemen are.
I feel like I've already admitted too much. What else am I going to say?
I don't know if you're organ donors. I am an organ donor on my card. No one harvest my organs before I'm fully dead, though, please.
I will be donating my organ. Yes, go on.
I would really like if Ray would donate his brain to science, because I think we're going to see some real messed up shit in there. I think it's going to be CTE and just giant gaps. This is why he doesn't remember a lot of things or can't understand certain things. Has entire decades that seem to be missing, like the entire 80s and what they were like.
Chan, that's a ridiculous thing to say.
I don't understand how he managed to get a nostalgia podcast off the ground when he can't remember last Thursday.
But I'm very excited about last Thursday. Even though I don't remember. Look, commercial is for Pizza Hut. And do you guys remember when you could get two pizzas for $10.99? Oh my God.
I love Pizza Hut. I love a Pizza Hut commercial. They just don't make good things good.
Oh, look, Pizza Hut might be the worst of the chain pizzas. I'll put it out there. It is not. There's nothing special about Pizza Hut.
No. First of all, going into Pizza Hut and having that whole experience plus the toys plus the, like, the reading challenge and everything, like...
Okay, yeah, the Pizza Hut restaurants were fantastic. I'm just talking about the quality of the food.
I still buy them.
Oh my God. No, Papa John's is hardly the worst. Papa John's is a decent pizza. It was just run by a fascist and I had to stop eating it.
I had to stop eating it.
Papa John's has gone downhill. We had a whole conversation at work about this when we were deciding what kind of pizzas to get.
Interesting. Okay. I mean, here's the deal. I believe you. I haven't had it in so long, though. I can't even, you know. I just like that little garlic dipping sauce. That's delicious.
And I like that they give you pepperoncinis, no, Pizza Hut is the shit. I still have somewhere a little Land Before Time hand puppet.
Okay, that's all awesome. Yes, that is. And look, after a softball game, you'd go to Pizza Hut. Like, that's just what you did. Domino's is way better than Pizza Hut right now, though, for my money. I'm sorry. Domino's has improved drastically over the last, say, 5 to 10 years.
You played softball with the girls?
Didn't you?
I was actually one of the only girls on the boys team in my town because there weren't enough girls to form a girls team.
Man, bougie. Am I right? Next commercial was for RD for Channel 7 News. I don't know where. I think it's from Wisconsin. I don't know where exactly this recording is from, but that was just ridiculous. It's just a thing where the guy explains his name and why he's called RD, and he's like one of the newscasters, and I don't give a shit about this guy, so I'm going to move forward. And then a news story before we hit the big Kathy special. You need that splash of news. President Bush went home to Maine.
No, it was just President Bush went to Maine.
Excuse me, not went home. I wrote went home, but you're right. No, he just went to Maine.
He did say they did say went home. Oh, did I don't they? Know if he actually went home, but like he's from Maine and he went to Maine. So they say, you know, like
it's anyway. A one sentence news story and it made me laugh. President Bush, and for anyone wondering, in case that one stupid young guy that Ray is friends with is listening.
Oh, for F's sakes. This is the
first Bush. This not is Bush, the second.
H.W. Bush, yes. This is the vice president under Ronald Reagan Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Not the idiot son who had an unholy war in the Middle East. He had a relatively popular war, this one did, in the Middle East. But that fizzled out, and the economy fizzled out so fast under him, he was a one-termer. Bill Clinton kicked the shit out of him. Figuratively speaking. And so let's start it here. Kathy both loves and dreads Valentine's Day. It's her favorite because she loves the idea of it, but in logistical practice, she does not like it because it's a lot to live up for. She never has a date or she has the wrong date. You know, single women, am I right?
I will say that I was honestly shocked that the voice wasn't Elise Beasley, because it sounds so much like her.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I guess if it's 1989.
The voice is awful. Animation is awful. It's all awful.
Oh, no. I think
the animation is pretty bad.
Fantastic.
Look, her voice sounds like, I guess, what I think Kathy, if she lived in New York. I never pictured Kathy. Look, she's an every woman type of comic. I just assumed she lived in the Midwest because I lived in the Midwest. It never once occurred to me until I watched this right now that Kathy would live anywhere but where I lived. So when she starts talking in this weird, New Jersey accent, what was this?
Oh, my God.
I know you just discovered what I was going to reveal later.
The voice of Kathy played the role of Liz Danes on Gilmore Girls.
Okay, well, that wasn't what I was going to reveal later, but that's fantastic.
I kind of doubted it. It didn't seem like the sort of thing you would know or care about.
I didn't picture her having an East Coast accent, and she completely, it's aggressive. Can we hear a little bit of Kathy's voice now that we've been talking about it for the people at home?
Geiss White was born in Dayton, Ohio. She was raised in Midland, Michigan.
She's not doing a Midwest accent here, though. You judge for yourself, people at home.
I've looked forward to Valentine's Day and dreaded it with the exact same passion since I was old enough to spell chocolate.
That sounds like Elise Beasley from Moonlighting, right?
I gotta look her
up. I don't remember Moonlighting well enough, honestly, but I'm going to say yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yes, it absolutely does.
It is on Hulu, and it still holds up. You should check it out.
However, Kathy's got a special thing this year because this year, she has a boyfriend, Irving.
I hope they double murder each other.
Irving is not likable.
Oh boy.
But Kathy's also not likable. So I don't know what to do. Yeah,
that's why. Look, I want them to double murder. I don't even want murder suicide. I want them both to pull the trigger at the same time.
When we start out here, it's like, oh, now I'm together with Irving. And we're, you know, have a deep romantic relationship and they're both sitting down at a table. And then they fall asleep in their food. And I was like, boom, relatable. I get that you're so goddamn tired that you just fall asleep.
Listen, just even, like, because you're or anything. In a like, boring,
what are they tired for?
Just sorry, because Jimmy, you can relate to a boring relationship doesn't make this a good show.
Yes, it does. B, I am happy with my boring relationship.
Yeah,
it is. It makes me over the moon because the first, let's say 15, 20 years of my, dating life, I was into, people who had drama and that.
Sure.
Wait, exhausting. Do you like this because you're Kathy?
You know what?
Oh my God.
I
breakthrough.
I am not going to say yay or nay.
I will.
I do eat more than my fair share of chocolate at work.
Mm.
I do always consider dieting and needing to lose weight. I do fall asleep on the couch more often than not.
Yeah. At the end of the day, really, marriage is just about finding somebody to put a show on, both be on your phones for hours every evening and don't talk to each other. That's marriage, right? That's pretty much it in That's a nutshell. Dream.
You can That's, do yeah. that by yourself.
No, you can't. It needs two people on their phones, not talking to each other. Otherwise, mm-hmm. it's just sad.
It's Thank called you. Parallel play. It's
is that how we parallel play? Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I need somebody else in the room to get mad at me so I get things done. That's how things work, right? I don't know why they're so tired though. Like I know why me and Chan are tired all the time. Look, no one needs to explain that. But these are childless.
No, they're not. It's not indicating tired. It's indicating bored.
I mean, it's indicating the 80s where women had to work twice as hard
sure.
to earn half as much and men were on coke.
So they sleep in their food? Like, have better food. If you're that bored by your food, I don't know.
It's Chinese.
It was the era of TV dinners.
Man, I mean, that's true. That's all she has in her freezer. And anyway, that's enough for the moment. Let's cut back to commercials. Burger King, 99-cent cheese, double cheeseburger.
Ugh, I love his Burger King.
Why
commercial.
Does Burger King food look so delicious on TV?
Because it was better in the 80s.
Disappointing.
It was always better in the 80s.
I love the idea of Burger King, and every time I have it, I am fraught with disappointment at how low quality their food is. I don't feel like it used to be this bad.
It was good in the 80s.
It was good, and it was good in the 90s. And then something happened, and they just, their buns fall apart. the Whoppers are just, they're not saucy enough. I don't know. I've had nothing but disappointment with Burger King, and I keep going back.
Would you say that you are the Kathy and Burger King is your satisfying relationship in this scenario?
I would argue that I am Kathy, Burger King is Irving, and we just fucking fight, and we want it to work, and it just doesn't.
Don't you dare call Burger King Irving.
It's more like Burger Irving King. That's what
Irvinger King.
Yeah, I'm always much like breakfast burritos, I'm always disappointed whenever I eat at Burger King. I haven't had a satisfying breakfast burrito either in like 2 decades.
It's Have you not so been to Cactus? Or What's Cottage? That? Corner Cottage?
I don't know what that Dude. Is.
There are literally a dozen world-class breakfast tell you, burritos in Los
every
Angeles.
Every time I get one, it's underwhelming.
Yeah.
So let's do the next commercial. No nonsense pantyhose, Gina.
We don't do pantyhose commercials anymore.
We don't. I noticed. And the best part is they follow up the no nonsense pantyhose commercial with the second no nonsense pantyhose commercial. Two in a row.
I mean,
I remember this commercial.
It's their target demo. Wait, you do remember and don't remember?
I do remember because I remember like the legs navigating it, like basically an office.
Yeah.
You know, like what's it called? Relay, not obstacle a relay, course. Obstacle course. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's.
I think that's clever. I can picture the ad man in the room saying, "Obstacle course, not a run in our stocking." It's a clever ad. I still remember it clearly, even though I was just I was negative 10 years old in the 80s. So
no, wait, is pantyhose still a thing that people wear?
I can't. Your stupidity is not cute anymore.
Wait, do people not wear it anymore, or do people wear it still?
You're asking if people still wear pantyhose? Of course people still fucking wear pantyhose.
Outside of bank robbery situations, I mean.
This is kind of like saying like, oh my goodness, woman, you look amazing without your makeup on. And she does have makeup on because it's one of those things.
Yeah.
That's so ingrained.
It's called willful ignorance. It also says it also implies that Ray has never watched any number of shows that star women. My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, the aforementioned Sex and the City.
That's a great show.
Well,
I like those shows. Those shows are old though. At this point. I'm just around a lot of people in sweatpants all day, I guess. Look, maybe in the video game industry, that's just not a thing that happens.
And you never go out anywhere, ever.
I don't stare at people's pantyhose when I go out. Like, no, I'm minding my own business.
I mean, this is an important consideration, that if you stare at women's legs for any length of time, you will be arrested.
Yeah, you're a creeper. I'm not that guy.
Yes, you are.
I try not to be. I try to just leave everybody alone and mind my own business. And that makes me a pariah, apparently. Anyway, back to the show. Kathy is discussing relationships and she's in her therapist session. She's going to see a therapist like Tony Soprano.
And even her therapist hates her.
Yeah. Her therapist, it's okay to feel good. It's okay to have a relationship and not have drama, Kathy. What the fuck is your problem? And then she slaps her, and I couldn't believe it. Or maybe I made that up.
Because you constantly insist on me playing all the goddamn songs in these cartoons.
Yes, please.
I'm going to play this one.
Oh, baby, don't you burn my chicken.
Oh, baby, don't you mush my mushroom.
Ooh. You know what? Thank you for that.
Understand that.
I don't even remember when that happened. I don't even, that left no impression on me at all. I didn't even write it down.
They were they're in the therapist's office and they're talking about like the good times back when, you know, they were all enjoying each other. And you flash back to a year ago because they've been in a relationship for a year. I was in the impression that they'd been like, you know, together, but not engaged or married for like 8 years.
Yeah.
But this is like fucking 12 months and the magic is gone. But this ends with them fucking. And I don't understand how the don't burn my chicken, don't mush my mushrooms is erotic.
Well, these are two of the most bland people in the entire universe.
Yeah.
And so just the idea of eating boiled chicken gets them fucking horny. I don't know what to tell you, Chan.
Okay. I just can see that.
Look, I didn't write it. But even, you know what? Boring couples will still fuck. So I guess this is how it happens. I don't know. She's now bored. She's been in this relationship with Irving for an entire year. And seeing their dynamic, it's awful.
Everything about it is awful.
I would understand if she's just like, this is a bad relationship. But she says, this relationship is great. I'm just bored in it. And then she blames him for the fact that she's bored using some very convoluted logic. And at first I'm like, okay, Team Irving, she's just high maintenance and difficult. And then we get to learn about their relationship more from his side of things. And I'm like, oop, nope, he's worse. He's worse.
At this point,
they're both terrible. There's not
healthy.
Yeah. At this point, it sort of feels like, okay, Kathy is neurotic, but she's essentially, you know, got her head on straight, you know,
she's generally functional,
making an effort, and she's, you know, generally a good person who has chosen a bad person.
Don't think so.
No, she's terrible.
We get introduced to Irving, who is the absolute dog.
No,
shit.
She's also a terrible person. She's like putting her shit on other people.
Yep. Right.
With no regard for them or their time. She's like, she is not here listening to her therapist at all. She's not hearing her. She's a bad person. They're both bad people. I hope they murder each other.
And yeah, at first I'm like, okay, she's just giving this decent guy a hard time. And then we cut to Irving playing racquetball with his friend. And I'm like, what an absolute piece of shit, Irving.
Well, okay, no. I mean, he may be a piece of shit, but he does have some valuable advice.
Women hate it when men are always on time.
I mean, fact. And yeah. Did you guys, I don't know, I in the moment, I figured out, do you guys recognize that voice?
No.
Play. Do you have any more clips of Irving talking? Because I figured it out. I wrote it down as a marker to remember. And then after it was over, I looked it up and I turned out to be right. So I was very excited.
Oh, serve him up.
No, really. Look, I'm sorry. The wedding's on Valentine's Day, and we don't even have our flatware picked out.
Sorry, hold on. I'll get back to Irving.
That was also Irving's friend. That was Ross.
Yeah, Irving's friend is getting married in 3 days, and they haven't picked up the flatware, which sure is like
outrageous.
A boring sort of thing, but also like if your wedding isn't fucking nailed down by 3 days before, the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, you're a disaster. And getting married on Valentine's Day. I mean, that's a good
everyone costume. In this is terrible. Everyone in this is a terrible person. Yeah, getting married on a holiday like Valentine's Day, you're terrible people.
Not terrible, just like poor decision making.
No, that's terrible taste. Because you're basically saying to your friends, either you don't get to celebrate a holiday the way you want to, or you say no to our wedding. That's not something right. Good people do.
No, a Christmas would be bad, but Valentine's Day is no, about just romance. But theoretically, a wedding is the most romantic thing.
But just because, fair. But here's the thing. You don't know what other people do on that holiday. You don't know if your friends celebrate it in a specific way that's personal to them. Don't force your shit on other people is what I'm saying. You could do it.
Hold on.
You could do it the weekend of like Valentine's weekend. But like, why are you forcing everyone else to forego their plans for your wedding?
What very specific plans do you make every Valentine's Day? Because I feel like you're being hyper defensive about a specific thing. And I don't know what that thing is.
I think people who, unless it's, let's say, New Year's Eve, because New Year's Eve, all anyone really wants is a party. So mm-hmm. So if you're having a wedding and you're basically like, hey, I'll provide everyone with free food and booze and a place to dance and party. That's all anyone wants on New Year's Eve anyway.
Ew, who's getting married on New Year's Eve?
On New Year's Eve, I want a place to go to bed by 8:30. That's what I want.
Yeah, no, 9:30 because you got to watch the East Coast.
You got to watch the East Coast. You're right. I'm sorry. You're right, Jen. 9:30. I'm out. I'm out.
Why do I do this?
You have some bizarre ass ritual that you do on Valentine's Day, and I need to find out what.
No,
it is.
I just think anyone who monopolizes an entire holiday, like if one of your friends was like, "Hey, we're getting married on Thanksgiving," you wouldn't be excited about that. You would be like, "I have my thing I like to do," or maybe you just want to stay home on that day. Like, you know, it's not. So these people being like, "Yeah, we are stealing this holiday, and also we're doing it poorly because we planned it poorly."
I mean, that is the bigger issue. But
you don't have to worry about like forgetting to take your like wife out for your anniversary if it's always on Valentine's Day. Like that's it feels like a little bit of a cop out to me.
That's smart.
1950s man who is one sentence away from admitting to spousal abuse for the comedy, right?
You know what? Fair. Can we get one, Chad? You got one more Irving line like queued up so I could just, we got to talk about his voice actor.
You've eaten with a plastic fork for 20 years. The food you buy comes with a plate. It's not enough you're making me go to a wedding on the one day of the year I like to leave town?
See, Gina is backing Irving here.
Yeah, no.
Dude leaves town on Valentine's Day. Why are you getting in the way of a man's desire to escape and run away from his commitment issues?
Yeah, this guy, he says every Valentine's Day I flee the country. Like, what is happening?
For a reason.
And so the voice of Irving, I just wrote down, is that Rob Paulson?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's Rob Paulson.
And it's absolutely Robert F. Paulson or whatever he goes by in the credits. Rob Paulson, of course, a very, you know, Yakko Warner, Raphael the Ninja Turtle, and of course, Snow Job from G.I. Joe. So it's a very recognizable voice that took me a second. I was like, ooh, wait a minute. Is this Michigan's own Rob Paulson? Yes, it is. And I'm sure one of his most regrettable roles. But hey, get paid. That's what I say. Go get paid.
This is crazy because I just Googled Kathy TV special and it is not the one that we watched.
Yes.
But
there were three total.
Yeah. So this is in case anyone watches this Valentine's Kathy episode, thinking Irving isn't a scumbag. This is the Kathy TV special. That's what it's titled. I thought I was looking up this one. It's not the same one that we watched. Kathy has a relationship with Irving. One Saturday night, she visits Irving's apartment to find he is entertaining another woman, Brenda. Although both women storm out on him, Kathy returns and Irving attempts to explain himself. Despite momentarily thinking the affair was brief, Kathy looks into Irving's refrigerator and finds butter on a plate, lasagna, and ice trays filled, and realizes it has gone on for weeks.
Oh, no. That's horrifying.
Jesus Christ.
Also, according to this, the final strip of Kathy, she's revealed that she's pregnant with a girl. What is happening? All of this is terrible. Just terrible. Terrible. So he hates rules. I don't get what's happening. Their main problem is she's very neurotic and gets very angry when things don't go the way she thinks they're supposed to go in her head. I get that. His deal is he hates being told what to do and he hates rules. So if there's an expectation of him to not be a huge piece of shit, he can't help himself but be a huge piece of shit because the expect... Wait a minute, Chan. Hold on just a second here.
By the way, if you look up Kathy, the actual Kathy, Kathy Geiswite, who it says in this, she acknowledged her comic was receiving complaints saying the last thing that the world needs is another vulnerable woman.
Yeah, thank you.
And a lot of people expressing surprise that a woman would write this comic. And she said, despite complaints, her readers like it. She stated, this strip is how I work out my anxieties. If you look her up, she is very pretty, very petite.
Is that right?
I know.
So she's just like Kathy. Very good looking. A very attractive, well together person.
I'm just saying, Google her. She's quite cute.
Oh my Who's God. All right. Eating Kraft singles?
I'm going to do it. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, she's okay.
I mean, look at her like when she was like, yeah, like there's a picture of her like winning her.
1987. She's an attractive Ohio woman. That's what I'll say.
Oh, no.
Wow. Wow. That was unnecessary. I don't know why you got to be talking
about. I didn't make her be from Ohio.
That is.
I mean, it said she moved to Michigan, Ray. So.
Well, we all make good choices in our lives.
Jan, click on that picture that I just sent.
You sent me a. I don't normally like clicking on pictures of
strange links that Gina sends you. Trust me, I get it.
I just want you to see how cute she is.
Only leads to trouble. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
She's cute and like look how happy she is with her little. I'm just saying she deserves better than this garbage and being disgusting.
Ohio Nine.
She made this garbage. What do you mean she deserves better?
I know, and she's very rich from it, but she It's not a good legacy, is what I'm saying.
Look, I did not know that she's one of she is a University of Michigan alumni. I kind of like her a little better now. The wild thing about it is she would have gone to the University of Michigan the same year my parents were there.
Wow, did they know her?
This is crazy. I don't know if the, you know what? I'm going to have to ask now because she is only 1 year older than my dad and 2 years older than my mom. And they all would have been at University of Michigan around the same time.
Maybe your dad's the inspiration for Irving.
Oh my God. My dad is the inspiration for Irving. Guys. Ooh. Guys.
Also, by the way, I just realized
here.
It said that her real dad voiced the dad in the other special. I don't know if he voiced the dad in this special, but that's kind of cute. Also, if I were her parents, if I were her parents, I would be like, hey, can you please not make us out to be anti-therapy weirdo Scientologists? Because this is not flattering.
In 89? That would have been very normal. Like
there were already a ton of shows where people got therapy. I mean,
right. But this is like the silent generation, right? Like Kathy's parents.
Yeah.
Were the ones who went to World War II and are like, you know what? Maybe we just bottle everything up and never speak of it ever again. Nothing bad will happen as a result.
I thought they were Scientologists and therefore hated the idea of therapy because therapy gets bombarded with hate speech in this episode. No one believes in it.
I mean, like this one rang true to me because in the 80s, like therapy was used as a threat to get my grades up. Like if you grades don't go up, we will send you to a therapist. And I was like, oh, OK, well, I guess it better because that sounds horrible.
But these are adults. This isn't a child. There were already like plenty of depictions of therapists on TV.
Oh yeah, yeah, but it was still normal in culture for people to think that way.
I mean, her parents aren't coming off. I don't think we're supposed to get where her parents are coming from. I think they come off as not great people.
Yes.
If I was writing a show about my parents and I was like, hey dad, why don't you do a voice in this cartoon that I wrote? And it was him basically being like, therapy? Oh, what? You can't talk to us? What are you, a stupid head? My dad would be like, hey, I don't want to read this. And also, do you think I could give you some rewrite notes?
Oh man. Now, look, I just got to find out if my parents knew the author of Kathy when they were going to college. All I can think
he's
about
stuck now. On that now. And it's like, oh my God, is my father.
I'm not gonna be able to move past it, everybody. I'm sorry. I have such a hard time with therapy. Wasn't, I don't know. I remember when I was a kid because of ADHD, they sent me to a therapist, to get me heavily medicated for my hyperactivity. And I didn't like that, but like, I don't remember psychology being like this aggressively dumped on in 1989. This, I don't know. This is weird to me.
I do.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
I just want to, real quick, point out, that Gina is correct. Literally every single person in this cartoon is a horrible human being.
Except the therapist.
Come on, I'm doing you a favor, pal. Kathy will see you in your tux. You'll slip her some great Valentine while she's all emotional from the wedding. And boom, you have got her where you want her.
I do not want to hear the words, you slip her something. And boom, you got her where you want her in the same sentence.
They're already dating. Like what? Like they're already boning. Like what do you mean? Like what are you trying? What angle are you trying to work here?
As my good friend Dr. Cosby will tell you, oh, it's way more fun if you slip him something first.
Slipper of Valentine.
Slipper some great Valentine. Like I understand the construction of that. But boy, it does not sound good.
I did not care for it. No, I didn't like that at all. Mom and dad have a surprise visit. And then mom makes the point, love is when you stock up your fridge. She has a very empty fridge with two sad TV dinners in the freezer.
Okay, let's hold on a moment here. This is the point where you were saying, am I Kathy? And I am not I don't think I'm Kathy, but it's possible that I am Kathy's mother. Because when she's like, yeah, love is like stocking up your fridge. And if you were to look in my fridge and or pantry.
That's just every Italian, Jewish, Asian.
So every mom in the world.
Mom. Mm-hmm. Well, not a Midwestern mom, I'm assuming.
Why do you think we get so big?
No.
It's not from not eating. It's like when people say, oh, I'm blank. And, you know, I love food.
I'm assuming not a German
mom. Every culture loves food.
Let me say that. I'm assuming a German mom doesn't come over and stock your fridge.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding? A German mom will stuff it full of streusel and pretzels and beer. Every culture loves food. You're not special because your culture loves food. It's a frustrating thing I hear all the time about literally everything. Even white people like food.
I mean, you could call it food, I guess, but
I mean, look, it's not. Having grown up white,
your casseroles are not food.
And eating white food a huge portion of my life. It is a tragedy. Sorry, white people. You did lose that one.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Switch on Chargertron, robots like you've never seen. Switch on Chargertron, supersonic machines. Rev the meter till it's red. Launch out the tracker. Switch on Chargertron, now it's an attacker. Switch on Chargertron, always changing, rearranging. He's surprising. He's disguising. Chargertron.
Chargertron. There's Protagatron and Antagatron. Each sold separately from Buddy L.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Gracious. Anyway, they get very, very mad about Kathy seeing a psychiatrist. They are enraged. You can talk to us, your parents. And I'm like, yes, in my head, like, but you're not a professional. You can't actually help me with this. I got very mad at the parents in this, is what I'm trying to say.
I was a little worried because for a second I thought it was Valentine's Day because Kathy was like getting all dolled up and got like the mini skirt and makeup and all that. Then her fucking parents walk in. I'm like, holy shit, were they trying to cock block her on Valentine's Day? Then I remembered it was just like, it was like the buildup, the 3-day buildup. So
weird,
but also like, because clearly they don't give a shit if they walked in and saw Irving's naked butt like pounding into their daughter. They'd be like, you go, boy. But they're entirely too casual and have too few boundaries.
That's upsetting as well. Irving does come over and kicking out the parents, and he has a big special secret for her, for Kathy, but it's like that there's wiring in the house.
He's like giving her a free cable hookup. This is a good gift.
Okay. is that what was going on? I didn't really get it.
Yeah, he's giving her like a premium hookup for her TV that's like surround sound. It's like all the cable. It's like they can watch like movies together now and stuff.
And fall asleep 2 seconds into it.
I mean, that's if some dude was like, hey, Gina, I'm going to hook you up with, especially in the late 80s, this stuff was expensive. And like, not too many people knew how to set it up. This would be like if some guy now was like, I'm going to upgrade you to an 80-inch TV. I'm going to give you built-in-the-wall surround sound. And I'm going to like hook it up so that all the wires look really neat and organized. Like, this is a pretty good gift.
I'm trying to figure out if Gina is A, actually an Irving, or B, the reason why she has all of her relationship troubles is because she's attracted to Irving. I'm leaning towards B, honestly.
No, I'm saying is I get both of their attitudes. Her attitude is, in her mind, she wants something so perfect that no man can ever live up to it. And it's perfect because shitty society and magazines tell her it's perfect. So like the perfect expensive box of chocolates, the perfect this, the perfect that. In his mind, he is giving her something that he thinks is really cool, But he clearly doesn't give a shit about her, because if he knew her at all, he would know that she wouldn't think this is cool. But he doesn't want to be hemmed in by her expectations. So they're both wrong.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
And they're both terrible. They're both terrible people. He doesn't even try to give her what she wants. She doesn't. She's puts too much pressure on this one little thing. I just hate both of them.
Like some of this stuff is rooted in a kind of reality, and the way I was feeling the arc of the show to be going
Covenant.
Is that they would sort of realize like, oh yeah, I'm doing a little bit of this. I'm doing a little bit of this. And you know, like if I dial it back, you dial it back, then we can, you know, like be mature human middle. Beings who can exist together.
Well, boy, I wish that's where we went.
And then it kind of doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't at all. And nothing is resolved by the end of this, which is so strange. It has no coherent arc to it. Like you would think, and especially because they sort of give you that moment, like at the wedding, the vows are them basically saying like, hey, it's about compromise essentially. And like they're each like spelling out Kathy and Irving's problems. And then Kathy and Irving have a moment where they're like, wow, okay, maybe we were wrong. And then they fight again. And like, it just ends with the fight unresolved and them like fucking. And it is not how you write a show.
We're getting ahead of ourselves. We're skipping right over the California Raisins commercial.
Oh, okay. I love those California Raisins.
Thank you.
But I will say that like they are in a weird position because this is a special, but it's also sort of in a continuity because I don't think this was the first one and I don't think it was the last one. The intention was we'll keep putting out these specials that basically we have to rehash the characters anew every time and just have them go back to their same shit so that we can like a sitcom. And it's kind of a weird place to
except in a sitcom, it would be resolved. And then like, you know, and then at the start of the next episode, there would be a new problem. It wouldn't be like the same. I mean, it would be like a similar problem, but not like they could have resolved this at the end.
It's like your Sam and Diane, you know, like they're not going to get together for a long time.
Except they get together immediately.
And then they like are fighting all the time.
Well, yeah, because I thought they broke up right here. I really did. Because they fight over just like I know couples fight over dumb shit. But like there isn't even an issue. They're just fighting.
Yeah.
Like, well, but I think the issue is that he's trying to give her wiring for Valentine's Day. And she wanted him to show up in a tux. She had these unrealistic expectations of he would show up on a white horse in a tuxedo and give her chocolates and candy and everything that she didn't even know she wanted.
Sure.
And he's a lazy sack of shit.
But he's still wrong. Like, she's still right to be mad at him. He sucks.
No, they are both wrong. There is no right in this. And the thing is, if you want to look at it from like a perspective, you could say, well, he brought her a gift he was excited about and she doesn't even try to get excited about. Or you could say, well, he didn't even she's right. He didn't even. So you could say they both have some small degree of rightness, but I think they're both just 100% wrong and terrible people who should murder each other.
I mean, I think that is where we're going to go with this. California Raisins commercial, back to commercial break. Ray Charles as a claymation.
I love it. I love it. I love this claymation style. I miss it.
And I remember all these commercials. They have Triaminic cough syrup for children.
That fucking jingle still in my head.
Ooh, yeah.
Like when it came back on, I'm like, oh.
Like, I forget the theme, Triaminic. But it's like your kids won't remember the cough syrup. They'll just remember that you care.
Yeah.
I'm like, God damn, hit me right in the feels. I'm going to go buy some Triaminic right effing now. My kid's not even sick. I need it. And then I absolutely remember Calcan cat food. Calcan cat food, now known as Whiskas.
I had forgotten that they had changed their name.
I had too until this commercial started and I went, oh, that's Whiskas. And sure enough, they're like, Calcan now has a new name. I'm like, is it Whiskas? Yes, it is.
Why do you keep saying Whiskas?
Yeah, like I'm confused about this as well.
I like saying the word Whiskas. Like, hey, everybody.
You realize that that's not the word, though, right?
Whiskas. That's how you pronounce it. That's how we say it. Chan, pull up the commercial. That's how you say it. Whiskas.
Chan?
The pleasing aroma. Everything more and more cat owners tell us their cats prefer. With a brand new name, Whiskas. More and more cat owners
Thank
tell
you.
Us their cats prefer.
Whiskas. Thank you.
God damn it. They kind of do make it sound like Whiskas.
I mean, I still don't think that's what they're saying.
It is
that's
not.
Exactly what he said.
They hired someone with a fucked up accent.
Wait, they hired me. Sorry, guys. That announcer was me.
That checks out.
Let's have some Whiskas.
Whiskas.
Whiskas. I love saying it. It's great. Anyway, then we get TV shows of the era. We get Dallas, classic. Falcon Crest. That's a great name for a show that wasn't very good. And then, of course, the oft-forgotten Pat Sajak show.
Man, late nights were never the same after Pat Sajak.
Here we are, man. 35 years later, Pat Sajak is still hosting Wheel of Fortune. And we all forget that 35 years ago, he had a very short run as a late night talk show host that was like syndicated on like U62.
Didn't he retire? I thought he retired last year.
Oh, I thought he was still on the air. Either way, like, let's face it, he's still around.
Been a long ass time.
He's a cranky MAGA guy now, I believe. But who cares? Pat Sajak, ladies and gentlemen, the Rob Lowe of his time. Have you guys been watching The Floor? Are you guys on the same party as I am watching The Floor?
Absolutely not.
Nope.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I am happy about it.
That is a Rob Lowe hosted game show of trivia and keeping your cool under pressure. And it's very fun. Mm-hmm. It's not good, but it's fun. I'm enjoying it. Anyway, if you watch The Floor, let's talk about it. Like, because I got thoughts. It's great. Okay, back to the show. Kathy is eating chocolate at her desk while she doesn't have a relationship, and it's the most productive she's been at work ever. She's able to keep her focus. This is the wrong message to be sending to everyone.
I mean, it's not a message. It's like the thing of like, this is what she is using to sublimate her issues.
I don't mm-hmm. care for this. And maybe it's just because I hate corporate America. I do not care for this.
You're not supposed to.
And this is the moment when I always have this moment where I check the timer to see how much more I got to go. Here we go. Sometimes it happens sooner in the episode, sometimes late, sometimes not at all, but often it does. 16 minutes into a 30-minute episode, I just wrote, I am bored to tears.
It is so
by the
boring.
Entirety of this special.
This is not like high comedy, but there's an element of farce where she's talking to her therapist on the phone, then her mom calls, and then she's got to go back and forth and talking to the therapist.
No.
Goes back, and her dad's on the phone because her mom had to go get like tissues or something like that and come back. And then all the people, all our coworkers start coming in and offering their two cents on what's going on.
Yep.
And her friend comes in with four kids.
Four Can't children.
Talk to hers, or if she brought the preschool class.
Yeah, it was very confusing. And they all have Valentine's for Kathy. And I just wrote, I don't even know what's happening anymore. This thing has lost the plot. We are spinning in all kinds of, we're just going stream of consciousness right now.
I mean,
just anybody who wants to just shows up and has a hot take. And then another person shows up. And then we spin into, I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
This is called a group game. And it's what happens in between Harold runs.
Did not care for it. Did not care. Anyway, Irving goes to a department store that specializes in Valentine's Day stuff. We get a little sketch here, a little skit where Irving is being overwhelmed by Valentine's Day choices. And at first it felt like the lady behind the counter was actually going to be able to help him. And then no, he doesn't really know what he wants. He doesn't really know what to do, and all she is doing is going out of her way to make it more confusing for him until he just needs to leave. Hilarious little sketch.
There's some funny bits in here. It's like all of our Valentine's gifts are small enough to fit in that little space between the, when the women's open the door and it's been barricaded because you fucked up. And then, yeah, she like she figures out the Kathy's size and like all the varieties, you know, the French size, Italian size, unisex size, petite cut, all that jazz.
You know,
kind of fun. Different kinds of silver, whatnot. And then when he bails, she's like, bus tickets are over there and like aisle five. Like, yeah, okay. Solid
construction. Chad, I'm learning a lot about you in this episode. I thought I fully understood the picture of Robert Clark Chan.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just always, it's there's so much more depth than you ever know.
Yeah. There's a whole like Midwestern housewife from the 80s tucked away under all those
was hiding in Bakersfield this whole time.
Metal. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm just saying I'm learning. I'm learning.
It's a thing. Yeah.
But you know what? That's what keeps the relationship spicy.
I'm not going to judge. I'm not going to judge it.
That's
I'm
going to
judge that my inner child is a 48-year-old housefrau.
Kathy's getting ready on Valentine's Day itself. They are going to the wedding. I thought they'd broken up. Honestly, I thought the date at the wedding was off. He shows up to take her to the wedding and she's not even dressed and he's furious.
Put it back together.
I would be furious too.
Sure. She's like, I'm in between my 11th and 12th outfits or whatever. You just happened to come when I wasn't wearing one. You should have had this figured out ahead of time. Yeah, dude. I don't know what we're even doing.
If you know that this is the type of awful, awful human being that you are, you try on those outfits a couple days in advance.
You have this shit on lockdown by the time we get to the being picked up moment, you know. And also we go back into psychiatrist bashing again. Like, we're just going for it. Like, every segment now is just how much psychiatry is quackery. I'm expecting Tom Cruise to show up at some point. I'm expecting L. Ron Hubbard to make an appearance in this episode.
This is...
this is Battlefield Earth.
This whole thing where like he never puts any gas into his car, and so she's like, well, find my keys, and like, but you always lose your keys. This was the point in my notes where I wrote, holy shit, this is a toxic relationship. Like, I thought it was either one or the other, you know, is basically wrong, or that they just weren't seeing eye to eye.
I think that's what we're supposed to believe. Yeah.
The core of this relationship is broken. Like, the only thing they can agree on is that they, I guess, both come from broken homes, or where there just was a lot of fighting.
Well, we've seen her parents. They seem perfectly functional, if not annoying.
I mean, I just think
that these are two exhausting people who are exhausting to be around, much less spend even a half hour with in a cartoon special.
I'm guessing the dad was an alcoholic and did his fair share of screaming when she was a child, and may have mellowed since, but, you know, the damage was already done.
I mean, fair enough. Yeah, that does happen. They're getting ready and they're just fighting, and their fighting isn't like fun fighting, you know, like there's fun banter fighting, you know, like the Lockhorns. Am I right, everybody? There's fun fighting where, like, we know everybody's going to be okay. But then there's what's happening here, which just makes me uncomfortable. I feel like I shouldn't be watching. I feel like I should just close the door and wait in the car until they've cleared it up. You know, it's this.
This is concerning.
It's not fun.
Not fit for network television at 7 o'clock.
Conflict is meant to be fun stories.
Nothing about this is enjoyable, except for the commercials.
But let's go back to commercials again.
Let's talk about a $3.99 drum auger, you guys.
I'm not going to lie. Ooh. When they advertised that, I just packed and unpacked the auger. I'm looking at it right now. The auger that I have for the home. And when I saw an auger at True Value in 1989 was on special for $3.99, legitimately, I got excited.
Yeah, same.
What is wrong? I am broken, is what I'm trying to say. Do you guys at home want to see a picture of my auger? Because it looks exactly like the one from this commercial. Auger technology hasn't changed.
I am not going to make that mistake a second time.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. And did you guys get tricked by the Pepsi commercial?
I had forgotten that their whole thing was people stop drinking Pepsi and start drinking Diet Coke. That is weird.
Don't drink Pepsi. Drink Diet. It opens and there's a whole bunch of Pepsi banners and there's a whole bunch of celebrities, like recognizable. So I can't remember their names right now, but there were a bunch of recognizable celebrities. And they say, we're drinking Pepsi. And then all of a sudden the banners change. They're like, psych, Diet Coke.
You don't recognize Don motherfucking Johnson?
Thank you. Don Johnson, voice of Lieutenant Falcon. Yes. In G.I. Joe, the movie.
The father of Dakota Johnson. Star of Madam Web.
Okay, that is a thing. Yeah. I didn't realize Dakota. Really?
Oh, my God. I didn't know that. You thought she just got an acting career because she's so dynamic and...
Well, how did Kristen Stewart get one then? Is she Patrick Stewart's daughter?
You bite your tongue, sir.
Jimmy Stewart's granddaughter? No, legitimate question, because she's terrible.
My understanding is that she has holds great sway in the lesbian community.
Oh, is that right? Oh, then yeah. I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Look, if I've just learned that
I just looked it up, and her dad is a television producer, Kristen Stewart. His name is John Stewart.
Oh my God, her dad is John relation, Stewart.
And her mom is Jewel Stewart, amazing. Who also works in film and TV. So that's how.
Boy, there's a shocker. That talent just meteorically rise from nothing. What a surprise. Look, I'm not even trying to Twilight bash. I just, every time I've seen her in literally anything, I've been very uninterested, as uninterested as she seems to be while she's performing.
Are we done here?
No, we got more TV shows. We got Newhart with Merv Griffin. Oh boy. Kate and Allie. Did they commit murder and go to jail? What is happening on these? It's like these shows are just spiraling out of control. I don't even know. You couldn't tell me that Kate and Allie commercial was a parody, and I would believe you, because what the F is even going on?
I'm reasonably certain that them in jail is like a fantasy dream kind of sequence, because I did watch Kate and Allie back in the 80s, and okay. I don't remember that sort of thing happening, but no, it could be wild. Could be wrong.
Okay.
We may have murdered someone.
Let's race to the end because, you know, it's been long enough. They end up going on a cab ride because, yeah, Irving shows up at Kathy's house with no gas in his car because he's a stupid asshole. Whew, and they both get in the cab and nobody has any money with them. Like, you don't think to bring any cash at all?
Yeah.
They both are terrible.
It's insane. And then doesn't he end up asking his friend who's getting married for money?
Yes. They show up and have to get $4.85 first off. What, even in 1989, a taxi cab ride was not $4.85. If it's that close, just walk. What are we doing?
That is a thing. I don't think you remember... Probably weren't taking a whole lot of taxis in 1989.
I didn't take my first cab till like 2006. So I guess, and even then it was outrageous. It's like $70 to go 2 miles or some. I see why Uber and Lyft happened is all I'm trying to say. But they try to exchange presents in the car. And of course they just start fighting about that. They're at the wedding. And one of the most wild things is they're doing their vows, and Ross, Irving's friend, basically says he wanted to be a better man because of how much Irving sucks. And he saw how bad his friend was and how shitty his friend was and says, that's not how I want to live my life. And he became a better person as a direct result of that. And that is a wild thing. That is a wild thing to say at a wedding.
I kind of like it. I like that he has a friend who is so terrible.
Yeah.
But also, if I was a terrible Kathy here, I would immediately dump him. I would be like, your best friend thinks you're such a terrible person, I need to break up with you immediately.
Yeah, it's not good. And Lisa, Ross and Lisa are the people getting married. Lisa's deal was she used to study books about relationships and couldn't improvise in any way when her expectations were not immediately seen as reality. So, again, as Chan said earlier, they just mirror Irving and Kathy.
I was actually the one who said that earlier.
So, it's, yeah, come on, Chan, stop. I said you said it. As the bit that will never die. God bless America.
You are entirely too amused with your own thing.
I mean, this is Ray 101. Anyway, wedding reception happened, and all these other people are saying, can you believe Kathy and Irving aren't married yet? I'm like, yes. I could very much believe that they're not married yet. And nobody wants to dance. And Irving's like, you have an expectation that I will dance at this wedding, so therefore I don't want to do it. Wah, let's fight about it. And then they fight about this in an uninteresting and uncomfortable way.
Oof. Yeah, this at this point, like, we're at just a couple minutes before the end of it. So we're
almost done.
Yeah. You just had a revelation at a wedding. You fucking dance. He bails. He refuses to dance and leaves the wedding.
He leaves the wedding. What is happening?
What is that about? And then they end up back at her place where they where she's like, get the fuck out. And he's like, yeah, okay. And then they get into some sort of fight that I don't understand the transition other than some kind. Their thing is that they get aroused by fighting.
Yes. Yes. So he basically lays out for her exactly what her problems are. She lays out for him exactly what his problems are. They're both right. And then all of a sudden it's like, this is sort of flirting. I guess we're going to bone now. It's like, no, don't do that, please. And then they bone. So now, because now we understand each other. So now it's cool. And I just wrote here, I don't get this. I don't get this at all. And that's how it ends.
Yeah.
That is how it ends.
We were
that's
real
the
close
end of the show.
To like a working resolution that I would have walked away thinking, oh yeah, this show's pretty good. And then it just gets so fucking weird.
But Chan, you did say you thought it was pretty good.
I mean,
Chan, this makes me lose a lot of respect for you as a human.
We're learning
being.
A lot about Chan, not
I
in a good way.
Have been trying to do that for almost 9 years now, and the fact that you managed to hold any shred of respect for me over this long is deeply disappointing to me.
And that's in 1989. Did you guys watch the post credits commercial?
What was it for? Because they cut it off. Oh, it was Murphy Brown.
Murphy Brown. Let's bring it all full circle. TV's Gina Ippolito. A Murphy Brown commercial.
Holding up for you, Gina.
Am I dead yet?
Very nearly.
And that's 1989, ladies and gentlemen. This felt like, I don't know, something about this felt way earlier in the 80s. This felt like 1983 to me instead of 1989. Maybe it's just because the animation was so terrible. And the quality, look, this was videotaped off of television and then put on YouTube, right? There's no illusions, anything else. The quality of this video was not very good. I can't believe the original quality was particularly good either. I'm happy somebody saved it and put it online. I'm not happy I watched it.
It, like I said, it was better than I expected. It was not good, but I found some moments to say, like, okay, yeah.
You know what? If the fighting was done in a playful or entertaining way, I think I could have gotten behind a lot more of what's happening here.
Yeah.
But all I got was just very unpleasant arguing over basically nothing over and over again. And it made me, I like it when people are fighting on my stories. I think conflict is fun. I enjoy that. That's why I watch the stories. But I don't like it when it's just nothing. Just there's nothing. We're fighting over nothing and not resolving it. And now I'm just like, it was maybe too real. I don't know. Something about it made me very uncomfortable.
It felt too much like mom and dad fighting.
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't fun either.
It's not good. It's just not, there's nothing. Yeah, it's not good. It's just nothing redeeming.
There's just nothing here to like. I mean, Chan liked it, but there's nothing here to like. Anyway, there are two more Kathy specials. Why do I feel like we're on a collision course with watching both of them before the end of the year?
I mean, if it's tied to a holiday, you sure as fucking.
That's true. Right, I'll endure a lot for a holiday.
Like, that's hope that there's one that's a St. Patrick's Day special where Irving gets super fucked up and like hits on some
corned beef and cabbage all over Kathy's house.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, due to a series of unfortunate events, we had a whole lot of Valentine's Day coverage. And then it just, because of just a variety of reasons, things kept falling through. So I don't think we're going to do as many Valentine's Day shows. Please tell me we're still going to do the VeggieTales Valentine's, though, please.
You know what? We'll do the VeggieTales. We'll save the rest for next year. Sadly, I feel like we're going to be here next year.
You say sadly. We have so much more G.I. Joe to watch, Robert Carr.
I keep hoping that
have a copy of G.I. Joe Renegades. Okay, so to the fan on social media, thank you for offering your G.I. Joe Renegades DVDs. I found out the other day I have two copies of Volume 1 and Volume 2, so I will be gifting Robert Clark Chan with one of these.
I will immediately gift it to the trash.
You will keep it and you will watch it so you do not have to find them online. This is a great gift I bestow upon you.
It's so much easier to rip it from YouTube than it is from a DVD.
Oh, well, that's probably true. But anyway, I have too many, so I do not need your copy at home. Thank you for offering. I bought apparently enough for more than myself.
One is too many.
I mean, you might be. What are these other G.I. Joe things on my shelf? Anyway, that's knowing is half the podcast. I'm still unpacking from moving and paying for a brand new water heater, which I'm still upset about because the poop broke. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make in all of this is Gina wants to go home. So anything anybody wants to plug?
No.
Gina is home.
He means home to my mother planet.
Poochie was moving to his mother.
I just hope it's not an ALF situation where the government shows up and abducts her.
Listen, as long as they dissect me and kill me, I'm fine with it.
Oh, well, happy endings all around then.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy. You got to sink this putt to win." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in. It's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.